It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Across the Mississippi River on the Wisconsin border, a student at Winona Senior High School is growing up to 200 pounds of lettuce each month for school lunches and doing it all inside the cafeteria.
The greens are grown in a hydroponic garden called a Flex Farm. It was developed by a Green Bay company that we'll hear from in a bit.
These gardens were meant to be a learning tool, but they've turned into a serious source of school nutrition for more than 800 students, and the district aims to expand that program to their middle school.
Miriam Jackson is a sophomore at Winona Senior High School in Minnesota and student farm manager for her school district. And Jennifer Walters is the district school nutrition director for Winona Area Public Schools. Jennifer and Miriam, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're really excited.
Miriam, let's start with you. Can you explain us the basics of what a hydroponic garden is and what you're up to in the school cafeteria?
Yeah, so it's a virtual garden that has a constant 24/7 flow of water in it, and it also has a light tower in the middle that runs for 16 to 18 hours a day. So the water is constantly running on the roots of the plant, and then the plant has sunlight, but then it also kind of has this night period where it's dark, so it simulates a real garden scenario.
And so what are you growing in it? So what kind of lettuce? Can you talk a little bit about what it grows?
Yeah, so we grow lettuce because we find that it's what produces the fastest for us that we can use the most with our school lunches. And we kind of grow all types. This year was kind of a trial year to see what grows fastest, what grows best, and what grows the fullest.
What's the tastiest lettuce to you?
I like the iceberg.
Jennifer, how have the high school students responded to having greens grown in their cafeteria?
Oh, they really like it. I was out at lunch today, and I noticed that when we serve our Fork Farms lettuce, that the students really make beautiful salads. That's fun to see. So they're actually building more salads, is what I've seen. And as a dietitian, that makes me happy that they're getting local produce.
As you are growing, what kinds of factors do you need to keep an eye on when you're taking care of these plants?
It's the water. So all the nutrients and all the pH that the plants get come directly from the water. So it's monitoring that there's enough water for the farms to circulate properly, and then making sure that there's enough nutrition so that the plants are getting the minerals that they'd normally get from soil, as well as the pH, so they're getting enough acidic that they need to grow properly.
How does the cost compare as you look at the inputs of water and other things? How does it compare to simply buying greens to use in school lunches?
Well, we started buying greens from a hydroponic garden because I wanted to make sure that we served some local produce. So I was paying $20 a pound.
Wow.
for the greens. I know. So we had two of the farms already, and I thought, you know, why don't we just expand this and start growing more of our own? So it's been a cost savings in that respect.
Miriam, do you have a background in agriculture or what got you involved in this?
I do not have a background in agriculture, so I got in it through FFA. So FFA had those two original farms that Ms. Walters was talking about earlier, and I was kind of part of that system. And then as they grew over the summer through grants that they received, when they grew to six farms instead of just the two, I continued to stay involved with it.
Has this project made an impression on you? Does it make you want to do more of this?
Yeah, it definitely has. I'm definitely looking at programs that relate to it. And I think it's also just taught me a lot about looking at agronomy or plant science, or even just in the future, growing produce, as well as understanding where our food comes from.
Jennifer, Miriam has been watching these plants grow, cultivating them. How have you seen Miriam grow over the course of managing this project and these systems?
You know, Miriam is amazing. I told her she was a born leader. She's the one that brings the ideas and we carry it forward. So she's growing really into a great gardener, great student. I'm looking forward to see where she ends up.
And one idea that has been floated is to expand the program to the district middle school. How might that look different at the middle school level? What would you need to make that happen, Jennifer?
Well, we would need to train our staff at the middle school because we would likely start with one farm. Unfortunately, our middle schoolers are not great lettuce eaters, so I'm hoping by starting with one farm, they can see, you know, how much fun it is to see the lettuce grow and have it on their plate. So we'll start with one farm over there. And eventually the students at the middle school, because they do study hydroponics in their science class, I'm hoping that they will become a part of this as well.
Miriam, do you have thoughts on a hydroponic succession plan in the works? Like, who will take over when you're no longer able to tend the system?
Yeah, I was definitely going to gauge that next year, whether it's an individual student, a group of students, or even just a class that the agriculture teacher runs, to see if there's a group of these kids that really does want to see more about this and is able to get involved.
Okay, Miriam, so if you were in a blindfolded taste test and someone put iceberg lettuce from the grocery store in front of you and someone put the lettuce you've grown in the hydroponic system, could you tell a difference?
Yes, because the difference is how fresh it is. You're able to tell the difference from this right to the farm, right to lunch, because some days we'll harvest and that will then be served the next day. You're able to tell the difference between that and then the shredded processed stuff you buy that has been picked a while ago.
What do your friends say when you sit down at the lunch table? You're all going into digging into your salads. Do you get feedback from your friends?
Yeah, they'll always say, look, Miriam, it's your lettuce. Just little stuff like that, and I think it's awesome.
Well, Jennifer and Miriam, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was awesome. Thank you.
That is Miriam Jackson, a sophomore at Winona Senior High School in Minnesota, who runs the Hydroponic Gardens program at her school, and Jennifer Walters, the school nutrition director at Winona Area Public Schools. Now we're joined by the Wisconsin company that creates these hydroponic growing systems, including the one that's in use at Winona Senior High. Alex Tynk is CEO and co-founder of Fork Farms in Green Bay. Alex, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much for having me.
You came up with a hydroponic cultivation system called Flex Farm. What problem or unmet need did you see when you set out to design the system?
This actually goes back almost two decades now. It was when I was living in New York City. I was brought up in Appleton, Wisconsin, and found myself out in the city. And I was actually out there trying to pursue a music degree and ended up randomly getting connected to a rooftop garden in Brooklyn. They let me take home food that I had grown on this little rooftop, and my eating habits changed. And they changed so much that it actually helped me through some depression and anxiety I had going on at the time that I didn't even really recognize I was dealing with. And so I thought to myself, man, is it really that simple? You grow food, you're more likely to eat that food, and then you eat the food and you feel better. And so the whole mission of Fork Farms and of the Flex Farm is to figure out how can we give people access to high quality, fresh and affordable food, make it really easy for them to do it themselves and to really take the power of food into their own hands.
How does your hydroponic garden then lend itself to an education setting, to schools?
Well, when you think about schools, you know, they tend to be the largest restaurant in a given community.
Yeah.
They serve so many meals, and they have such a critical role that they play in local food systems. And so when we thought to ourselves, you know, who are the people that we want to try to positively affect the most? It was kids, because if kids aren't eating well, they aren't thinking as well, they're not learning. And, you know, we really believe that learning is a real foundation for a productive and healthy society. And, you know, as we were doing our work, we just saw a huge opportunity there to, you know, assist in improving school lunch and, you know, assist in the learning environment at the same time. But the reality is, because they move so much food product, that a little tabletop unit or a little hobbyist system isn't going to do it. We really wanted to provide a solution that was going to feed kids and feed the school. But you have to make it where your average school teacher or nutrition services director
or a student
can do it themselves. Or student, of course, you know, obviously can do it themselves. Yeah. And so and that's the big piece that you just brought up, is creating programming like curriculum and lesson plans and hands on opportunities. Like, that's really where the magic is when you get, you know, kids that really take this into their own hands and come up with something creative that we even wouldn't have thought of. I mean, that's when you really know it's working.
What is the uptake like here? Have Wisconsin schools adopted your product for use?
Yeah, we've been so fortunate. Now there are over 800 schools in the state of Wisconsin alone that are doing this, and we're placing systems and programs like this in all 50 states and 12 countries now, believe it or not.
Wow, you've really scaled up. These systems, they require electricity, they require water to operate. Is that resource usage a concern or a barrier for these products?
You know, with a system like ours, you're able to recirculate the water supply. We don't just water the plants once and then the water goes away. We reuse that water over and over and over and over again. So all you're doing week over week is just topping up your system. And that actually makes it 50 times more water efficient than conventional farming. And so especially in areas where water is a huge concern, that's a huge selling point. But what it really is big, especially in Wisconsin, is energy costs. A lot of folks have tried, you know, greenhouses, but heating a greenhouse in the winter is really expensive. Or they try, you know, some other solution that, you know, the lighting is really expensive. And so we spend a lot of time focusing on how do we make our solution as energy efficient as possible. And that really drives the cost of the food more than anything else. And around 8 years ago, we stumbled into this realization that just by recapturing the light from the little grow light that's in the middle of the system, the light bounces around in there and it doesn't escape. And as a result, you don't need to put as much light into the system. Hmm. Well, come to find out, it's actually 75% less energy is what you need, which is disruptive. And so we've got schools all over the country that are telling us, like, yeah, we're only spending 65 cents, 80 cents a pound for products that they're buying off the back of the truck, you know, anywhere from $6 to $12 per pound. And so, you know, that's another piece of this. It's not just an educational opportunity. It's really an opportunity for schools to save money and to enhance their food budget and really improve school lunch as a result of that.
And it sounds like you're still finding some technological breakthroughs here to these systems, and they are still evolving and being optimized.
How that's looked over the last couple of years is we started off really with, we're kind of a one-trick pony. We had this really cool product called the Flex Farm. It's still, you know, a huge part of what we do. Mm-hmm. But people started coming to us and being like, we really want to go big. I mean, we've got this whole school district. It's 20 schools. We want to make it where the whole district never buys salad greens ever again. We were like, wow, that's great. You know, you need a farm of this size. And that went really well. And so then we had folks coming to us that were saying, wow, we need a farm that's like 2,000 square feet. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And we realized that the Flex Farm, it's this pod shape, you know, for your listeners, it's like a cylinder. Mm-hmm. And you have to open it up and you pull the light tower out. And it's great for small installations. But at scale, when you think about a commercial scale farm, it's really not designed to take most optimal use of the square footage. And for harvesting, it's really perfect for those smaller institutional farms. So we actually formed a partnership with Rockwell Automation, which is headquartered in Milwaukee. And we ended up developing an enterprise solution on the hydroponic side that we call the Flex Acre, which is this giant wall-looking system. And we actually developed it to mimic data center design, because data centers are something that we build all over the world right now as humans. And we have learned how to really efficiently heat and cool them. And that problem has plagued our industry for many years, figuring out how do you heat and cool these vertical farms where you're stacking tiers of plants one on top of each other. And it's a nightmare because you're trying to create a consistent temperature and humidity and heat rises. And so we looked at who has already solved this problem and let's talk to them and let's work with them as opposed to trying to create our own solution that's going to be less effective. And as a result, we now have this very robust enterprise commercial type solution that is really growing like gangbusters. We figured out how to make it where anybody, if they, you know, Kate, if you wanted to build a 10,000 square foot vertical farm somewhere, I could just tell you, all right, you're going to have to put a sub panel there and a water line there. We're going to roll your farm in, drop it and plug it in. And it just works.
Wow. Wow. Plug and play almost. Switching gears to business climate. How is the ongoing trade war and tariffs affecting your business and your supply chain?
We are very fortunate in that we built our business on the ethos that if we're in the local food business, we need to be in the local manufacturing business as well. So we actually do the vast majority of our manufacturing in the state of Wisconsin. And as a result of that, we have been able to keep our prices really stable. We haven't had really any supply chain disruption related to trying to get things from overseas. But, you know, when you think about raw material, you know, we use plastics and steel and things like that. I mean, those prices are inevitably going to continue to rise. And so we just need to be prepared for that, because the last thing we want to do is, you know, put that onto our customers. We want to minimize that as much as we possibly can.
Okay, so crystal ball time, and whatever's inside this crystal ball is green, right?
Yeah.
Where do you see Fork Farms a decade, 2 decades from now? What does the future hold for you in Green Bay?
I really think that the way that the world is evolving, the way that food is grown is evolving. I mean, most people don't know that the average number of miles that a piece of food on your plate has traveled is over 2,000 miles, and it's touched on average more than 30 hands. I mean, it is a very complex, very large system, and so many of the costs are structurally embedded in the way that food moves around. And so, you know, when you think about the rising population globally, you know, we're welcoming all these new people every day. When you think about all the health disparities that exist, when you think about the rising gap between the haves and the have-nots, when you think about the fact that climate change is already reducing crop yields, where the majority of our produce and fruits and vegetables is grown in Salinas Valley, California, and Yuma, Arizona, there is a real math problem that we're facing, all of us, where food prices, especially for fresh food, are going to continue to rise. It's inevitable. And so how do we all together build a better food system? And I think that the future is in communities getting more involved and taking the power and the control of that back into their own hands. And we're going to see it with the people that really care about food the most, you know, and I think those are educators who want to do the best for their kids. And those are healthcare professionals that want to do the best for their patients. And these are the people that we're partnering with right now that are, you know, starting to do that. But I have been shocked. You know, we've been in business 8 years, and I have just been shocked year over year at how many people there are actually out there that are willing to engage in this type of thing. And I really think that the more that we've grown, that there is a real future in the food that we eat 10 years from now, 20 years from now, is actually going to come from down the street. And it's not going to have traveled 2,000 miles, and it will be grown in a facility that looks a lot like a data center, and in a way that's really clean, and in a way that's really safe, in a way that's very energy and labor efficient. And that's our mission. You know, that's what we're going to try to do, is just make fresh food more accessible for everybody.
Alex, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
That is Alex Tynk, co-founder and CEO of Fork Farms in Green Bay, which produces the Flex Farm. That is an educational hydroponic garden that is used in schools all over the country. Earlier, we heard from a high school student and nutrition director in Winona, Minnesota, where they produce greens from a hydroponic garden growing system in the school cafeteria.